The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Midweek Punt Podcast. It's Dave Kellner here alongside Lee
Phelps. Let's just get it out of the way, shall we?
I wasn't even going to mention it on this podcast.
You could barely even do the introduction.
I know it's the weekend podcast where we mention the Naps, but seeming as you've brought it up here right now.
Top of the, top of one of the Naps tables.
Top of the Naps table.
Well, you know, if we felt the first, you know,
Naps table.
The first however many weeks of the season it was, yeah. Well done.
Yeah, no, but I think the thing is, I think when Derek came back and we had those first couple of weeks where you landed a couple of Naps, to the astonishment of the listeners, that's when you said, we'll just go from when Derek came back, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I probably
full transparency.
Yes,
is fair. The answer. And now that I've leaped like a salmon to the top of that Naps table, suddenly...
I'd say crawl.
Suddenly, you want to...
on your belly.
Suddenly, like suddenly, you want to recall what happened at the beginning of the season when, obviously, on my part, there was a lot of disinterest there. I was uninterested at the start of the season because I knew that at one point we were going to say, listen...
Okay.
Let's get Derek back into the fold here, and we were going to go from that point. And that's where we are now, and... happy with Burnley, and it makes it all the more sweeter that you were so negative about their chance this weekend.
Yeah, I thought QPR would win, I must admit. But you know, that's the way the cookie crumbles. We'll move
it is
on.
Sometimes.
Do you know what got me about it? I wish I'd put Chelsea 2-0 at 5-1 as my nap.
Yeah.
Well, or Berahino.
About these things?
I should have put Berahino up at 13-8, shouldn't I?
13-10, wasn't it?
13-8.
Yeah, 13-10. You always try and do it. You see, I remember the prices.
I just love to test your memory. I can always see when your brow is furrowed. I know I've got it slightly wrong. But yeah, DK, top of the Naps table. I think we'll work this out properly at the weekend, but yeah. I'm thinking you're on about 116. Derek on 95, and I'll be on about 90. It's not bad. I mean, you know, if anyone's interested in the full season standings, then it'd be slightly different.
They're not.
It's only me, I think.
Let's look at the FA Cup replays. Then we've got them midweek.
So determined this week.
Fortunately, there's no nap on this particular podcast. We're going to look at the three games involving Premier League sides, and we'll start off with West Ham versus Everton. On Tuesday night, 7:45 PM kickoff. West Ham 7-5. The draw 21-10. Everton 21-10. The original match, Everton 1, West Ham 1. West Ham took the lead through James Collins, and then Romelu Lukaku popped up in the 90th minute to equalise. West Ham's last three games all been 1-1 draws, and following Everton's 1-1 draw against Manchester City, their last couple being 1-1 as well. Manchester City just have trouble hanging on to leads, don't they? We've seen that on numerous occasions in recent weeks. And again at the weekend, Everton slipped one behind. And given Everton are at their lowest ebb at the moment, you'd think Man City go on and win that game. But Stephen Naismith scored the equaliser with 12 minutes left, and they got a 1-1 draw. That could be big for Everton as well.
Yeah, super Stevie Naismith.
He's not been mentioned on the podcast this year, has he at all,
I missed him a little bit. Yeah. It's interesting you say that, though, about Man City letting that lead slip. It's something that West Ham have done in the last three matches. They've taken the lead and then not been able to hang on to it.
Yeah.
Through an own goal at the weekend, but obviously Berahino scored for West Ham in the draw. Lukaku, as you mentioned, equalised. And interestingly enough, this season up till the new year, Everton had only come from behind and rescued points twice. They've done it now twice in succession. Did it against Man City, of course, and did it against West Ham in the Cup.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you read the forums and when you read the comments from within the camp, there does seem that no one's going mad at Everton saying, oh, yeah, we're on the crest of a good run here. But I think there's a general belief seeping back into the camp. One man, you may have read this yourselves, everyone's been raving about Besic over the weekend, especially against that City midfield. He's... A lot of the Everton fans have been pretty negative towards him, I would say, but he's starting to find his feet, and I think he's going to be a crucial player in the second half of the season for Everton. I see Everton climbing the table now in the Premier League as the season progresses, and they need to, the 12th. But I can see them starting to get some good results. Now, West Ham are a funny one, aren't they? Because, you know, for all the chat about how well they're doing, they haven't won a game in five.
Yeah.
You know, and I know, you know, one of those was at Chelsea, one was at home to Arsenal, and they were unlucky. But those last three performances, I think if you're a team who've got top six pretensions, I think you should be closing the game out against West Brom, and I think you should be beating Swansea. You know, Swansea without Wilfred Bony. I know Gomez came in and played all right, but I think that was a great opportunity for West Ham to put some more distance between themselves and the South Welsh club. I've got a sneaky suspicion for Everton here.
Have you really?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to play the outrights, but I think at the prices, if Everton are coming back into it, then they could do well. But the draw's staring me in the face, DK. You mentioned all those stats, and I could see the draw. I'm tempted to have a little go on the Everton to come from behind and win or draw, given the way West Ham have been letting leads slip and the way Everton have been, you know, showing that character that we know Everton have got. We know they've got character, don't we?
We know they've had character in the past.
Yes, but that doesn't leave a player. I think the confidence has been sapped, but I think we know they will always give their all. It's just that I think some key players have been underperforming. And I think, you know, again, reading the forums, what's happened to I've got no idea. I'm asking the question to everyone else, really. What's happened to Seamus Coleman? I mean, it used to be, or last season, it was like, if he's in the team, they do well.
Yes.
He just seems to have gone at the game this season for some reason. Any Everton fans out there who've got any theories on that, then we're all ears, or all eyes on Twitter, I suppose.
You can tweet us at D. Kellner and at Lee Phelps.
I'd seriously be interested, because he's one of those players, like, you know, like your Leighton Baines, who maybe don't get the headlines all the time, or Leon Osman, who, but when they do play, they seem to give Everton that solidity, and he's not been great, I don't think. Lukaku, again, getting rave reviews from his manager. I suppose he would do, but, you know, he's being built up, scored the goal in the first match between these two. He's 9-5 to score any time, which I quite like. Here's a curious thing, DK. Andy Carroll and Enner Valencia are likely to play up front again.
Yep.
In this match. The Sam Allardyce was poorly, so it wasn't at the game at the weekend, that 1-1 draw, so the assistant manager took charge. He said it's touch and go whether Diafra Sakho plays in the replay against Everton. This is a guy who I thought he couldn't go to the African Cup of Nations because he had a back injury.
It's weird, isn't it, that they've kicked off big style, though, haven't they?
Well, yeah, and when he went on international duty last time, he came back with a back injury.
Yes,
and it wasn't even from playing. West Ham claimed it was from poor medical treatment. So there's obviously, like, I reckon they've held him back here and thought, well, you're not going there again. You know, you can be injured at home. You're not going there and being injured and getting treatment. So, I mean, if he plays, that'd be very interesting. I wonder if FIFA would have words about that.
Well, the Senegal officials are already campaigning to FIFA and the English FA to attempt to stop Diafra Sakho playing. Mm. Sam Allardyce has been critical publicly of Senegal's handling of Diafra Sakho when he last went on international duty, something that you just referenced earlier. So it will be intriguing to see if he does play at in this FA Cup match. I'm sure he won't. I'd be amazed if he does, Lee.
I don't think he would anyway, because, you know, you don't want to risk your player.
No.
When you've got, you know, Enner Valencia, and Enner Valencia hasn't really lived up to his early season form, but Andy Carroll, I mean, he's...
That was a sensational goal at the weekend, wasn't it?
Doesn't he?
Yeah, that was a fantastic goal at the weekend. I think maybe you're doing West Ham's recent performances a disservice, because not expected to win at Swansea. Swansea, remember, close to even money to win that game, 6-5. A lot of people would view that as a positive result. You're viewing it as a negative.
Well, I think having taken the lead, I don't think you should. I think if you, like I say, I'm not criticising West Ham or doing Swansea down, but I think if you've got pretensions to be top six, they're the games that you need to hang on to.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. I don't think they are a top six side. I think they're a top 10 side, West Ham, this season. So, you know, the result is probably, come the end of the season, fair enough. But what I'm saying from this point of view is that West Ham are struggling to hang on to leads. And I think that's where I think we might see Everton get through this. But it may be that they have to go through penalties as well. I mean, Everton 11-10 to qualify for the next round. I think we could see a late one here. I'm going to go for the draw if forced on an outright. But my two other bets are Lukaku to score at any time 9-5 and Everton to come from behind and win or draw at 9-2.
Thank you. Yeah, I like that as well, that you've properly laid out all your bets there, because then when I get a text saying, oh, I've done this and I've done that at the weekend, I can think back and think, well, how many bets did he put up in that particular
match? You won't have to worry about that anymore. I'm never going to text you again.
Thank goodness for that.
Mission achieved.
Mission accomplished, yeah. Let's move on to Wednesday night's matches then. Two of them here. Ipswich Southampton's the one that's televised. Ipswich 7-2, the draw 12-5. Southampton in the market at 17-20 to qualify. Ipswich 7-4, Southampton 2-5. If you remember back to the first match, Southampton went behind. Darren Ambrose scored for Ipswich after 19 minutes and Morgan Schneiderlin got the equaliser. Ipswich subsequently beaten by Derby at the weekend in that top of the table clash in the Championship. Chris Martin scoring for Derby. Southampton, their most recent Premier League match against Manchester United, which was just yesterday, Lee, 1-0 win, Dusan Tadic with the goal, and then he's got a figure like mine, that man, hasn't he? Took his shirt off, celebrated. Similar. It's very similar.
He's got
a body. Anyway, that's where the similarity ends.
If there any anyone listening who thinks that's anywhere near true, it is. He's actually sat here without his top on now, and it's ripped.
My top is, anyway. It was an incredible performance, I thought, from Southampton against Manchester United. For Manchester United to line up with Rooney, Van Persie, Juan Mata, Angel Di Maria, all in the side and not have one shot on target, shows you the solidity of this Southampton side. And Morgan Schneiderlin, a man that I just mentioned, his goal rescued that FA Cup tie against Ipswich the first time they played each other. He was incredible yesterday. Mm. Really strong performance. I thought it was a good performance from Southampton. Pressed high up the pitch, put pressure on Manchester United's three centre-backs, and they'll be expecting to go through here against Ipswich Town.
Yeah, I would think so. They've got a bit of a formula away from home, haven't they, Southampton, against the bigger clubs. I'm not saying they always win, but they were very unlucky to lose at the Emirates when they'd made all the substitutions and they ran out of players, effectively. Sanchez scoring in the 89th minute after they went down to 10 men, but through injury.
Yeah.
Obviously did the job at Manchester United fantastically well. As soon as Van Persie went off, because he was the guy who got the two goals in the reverse fixture, and they only had three shots on target that game. He scored two of them. And as soon as he went off, I wondered if they would struggle to score, because, they're very strong. Seldom do they concede more than two goals away from home. In fact, I think they've only done it once this season. That was against Stoke in the League Cup, when they probably took the foot off the pedal a little bit. And even then, it was a late one, winning 3-2 in the League Cup. So they're very good defensively away from home, Southampton. And I don't see this being much different. It'd be interesting to see what the team news is like, won't it? Because, Southampton have Ronald Koeman has put out strong teams in the cup competitions. He's won cups in the countries that he's managed in before, so he obviously puts a lot of stall in them, and keeping the form going. It'd be interesting to see what Ipswich do here as well. I mean, you were in the studio on In Play Radio when Derby yep. County beat them 1-0, which is a real shock. Second home defeat of the season. And they've hardly dropped any other points in the Championship either. They win games for fun in the Championship, generally scoring two or more goals. Do you think Southampton will treat this in the same way they did Manchester United? Do you think they'll be solid and look to nick the ball off Ipswich and break on them as quick as they can? Or will they think, we're the Premier League team here, we're going to go for it? I think that's the key to this game.
Yes. I think they'll set up the same way they did against Manchester United. I don't think there's any reason to change that. I think Ronald Koeman's so pragmatic that he will adopt a similar approach as he did at Old Trafford on Sunday.
United, which you called, remember? And they didn't go hell for leather at Sheffield, did they? In the
no.
Cup. And I thought they would in the League Cup, and they didn't. So that's, I agree with you. That's the way I think it's going to go. I think they'll set up the way they know, because let's be fair, it keeps your form going, keeps the systems going, players know what they're doing. They follow this game up with a trip to Newcastle. So it's a tough old run, this, for Southampton. Manchester to Ipswich, to Newcastle, a lot of travelling involved there, and I think they'll win the game. I wouldn't be surprised if they win it 1-0. I think Southampton are under 2.5 goals for me.
He's made a believer out of me, Ronald Koeman, following that. I think Manchester United have been obviously overrated. That was the biggest price they've been since 2011 at home against a side that wasn't in the top four last season.
Good stat.
On Sunday at around about 4-5, and justifiably so on what we saw as well. given they didn't have a shot on target. Southampton 17-20. It looks okay to me. I think under the goals is a good bet. Yeah. Under 2.5 goals, presume it's
8 to 11.
Yeah, 8 to 11. I think that's okay. Southampton, I think it could be shorter than that.
Southampton and under is 14-5. I'll mention Ipswich in a second, but just a thing on Southampton. What I'm most impressed with, DK, is how he's, you know, that's a bad run. You know, those five successive defeats and the draw against Villa. That was one of the worst performances, the draw against Villa, by the way, the 1-1. What he's done since then against Everton, all right, out of form, Palace, a team who you maybe should be beating, but Chelsea, Arsenal, the draw in the cup, and then Man United, he's done brilliantly. There will come a time this season when they have another dip, though. They're not going to manage to continue this form throughout. And I just wonder if it's worth putting in your notebooks.
Yes.
We've all got betting notebooks. That might come. They might, after this series of three away games, just have a look at, you know, where the fitness is, how they are after those three games, if they look a little lacklustre, because that's what cost them before, was the general fitness. Ipswich, as we mentioned, lost to Derby. But, you know, if you look back at this season, when they have lost games, they've generally bounced back. So don't expect them to get tonked or anything like that here. I think they'll go solid as well, and they'll go back to basics. Mick McCarthy is a no-nonsense manager, and he'll be imploring his team to make sure they get something out of this game. So I think it'll be a tight match, and I think Southampton's class will just about tell. 1-0 if you're looking for a correct score at 6-1, but the Southampton and unders gives you 1-2, doesn't it? So I think that's fair.
14-5 the pick then. Southampton and under 2.5 goals. Southampton to qualify 2-5, Ipswich 7-4. To win the match in 90 minutes, Ipswich 7-2, the draw 12-5, Southampton 17-20. I can't find the exact quote, but I enjoyed the words Koeman had for Louis van Gaal. I think it must have been prior to the match, where he said...
Did he call him Louis van Flatface?
He didn't call him that.
That's what Derek called him, isn't it?
That would have been...
Been rude, wouldn't it?
Would have been just disrespectful, wouldn't it? And rude. He said that Manchester United on a decent run of form... Something along these lines, I'm paraphrasing here. Manchester United on a decent run of form at the moment, but they spent £150 million in the summer. I'd expect to be winning the league. So it wasn't as tempestuous as the first affair between Van Gaal and Koeman, but he just had that little pop that I quite well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
there's a definite undercurrent running
through
that relationship.
No love lost, is there, between those two. It's good.
Tottenham versus Burnley then. All Premier League clash on Wednesday evening. I'm not sure whether this kicks off at 7.45 or 8pm. I've got 7.45 on the screen, so we'll go with that.
I've got 8 on mine.
Yeah, I know, so I'm
There's
not
different
sure.
Screens to yours,
one,
though,
one so. Or the other.
I've got 8 on 2 now.
It's probably an 8 p.m. kickoff then. Tottenham 1-2, the draw 3-1, Burnley 6-1. To qualify, Tottenham 2-9, Burnley in the betting at 3-1. On Saturday, you'll know that Burnley beat QPR 2-1, 3 p.m. kickoff, that one on Saturday. And
I just realised this match pairs up my losing that with your winning.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, which is nice. Burnley on Saturday were the first Premier League team to name the same side in 7 successive games in the Premier League since Birmingham City back in 2009-2010. The question here is whether he will make changes. I think he's bound to make changes, Sean Dyche, because he understands the importance of the Premier League, doesn't he? And Burnley are in action against Crystal Palace Saturday, which is a huge game. So I think he will make changes and maybe go with the same side he started on Saturday, next Saturday against Crystal Palace, and make a few tactical adjustments here for this match against Tottenham. But Tottenham went to Palace. They were 11-10 at the weekend. Some people thought that was a really decent price at 11-10, and they got beat by Crystal Palace.
Despite
taking the lead as well.
I was surprised. I must admit, I was surprised that they pegged them back. But you know, fair play to Pardew. You know, he's obviously got something out of this team. And like you say, I mean, his team news is everything. Didn't make that many changes, did he, from the cup to the league? Has he got that much to move around? Actually, I'm always of the opinion, if I was a manager of a football club, which obviously won't happen, unless it's a junior kind of football club based in Leeds, even that probably won't happen.
No, I think that's unlikely, in all honesty.
I wouldn't change my team at all. I would want to keep up the winning momentum, or the momentum of not being beaten, and play the same players. You know, if put it the way, DK, if you were a footballer, you wouldn't want to be dropped for an FA Cup game.
No,
Tottenham,
but you can't play the same 11 players every single match.
They used to in the olden days. Didn't they?
Yeah, things have changed, haven't they?
What's changed?
Well, they didn't used to have nutritionists and sports psychologists. But
good old
days,
you mean?
You're not suggesting that sports psychologists don't have a place in the sporting world, are you?
No, I'm not at all. I didn't expect the debate to go down that road, if I'm being honest. What I'm saying...
You've got to be ready for the twists and turns on the podcast.
Here's what I mean. Would you rather train all week or play? You'd play all day long.
I'm too lazy to do either, in all honesty.
You're expecting a trip to Jamaica.
Yeah, I want the Raheem Sterling gig.
He didn't. I noticed you didn't retweet my amazing joke at the weekend.
What was it?
I tweeted it out, and you get. Oh, see,
I must have missed that. I can't keep up with your vast volume of tweets over a weekend.
I think it works better in written form.
Oh, do you?
But basically, it was Raheem Sterling says the gaffer's given me some time off, so I'm going on holiday. I'm taking the missus to the Caribbean. The interviewer says Jamaica. He replies, no, she wanted to go. So you'd go, that's what you'd do. He was holding that laugh in. He had to let the laugh go in the end.
Awful. That's just.
I nearly put a marker in there.
To take that out. It.
That's quality.
So team news important in this match. Tottenham are 1-2.
More important for Burnley than it is for Tottenham.
Tottenham 1-2. That's short, in my opinion.
It is. You like Burnley, don't you?
I do like Burnley. I mentioned that. Obviously.
Tottenham bounce back here. Tottenham Tottenham get through here.
Burnley have got bigger fish to fry. Yeah, I think that match against Crystal Palace on Saturday is huge for Burnley. Yeah. And that's why I expect Tottenham to come through this.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure. I think if you're backing Tottenham here, I'd rather be with Tottenham in a big way than taking the 1-2.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure how well they'll beat them. I think there could be goals, though. As we know, Tottenham have been a little bit leaky. I mean, the home defensive record has improved, though. The only teams they've conceded goals to in the last six are Everton, Chelsea, and Burnley, of course, in the league. They beat them 2-1. I wouldn't be surprised to see a similar result to that. Tottenham to win and both teams to score at 21-10. Looks nice compared to your 1-2 shout there. Harry Kane, 17-20. Not really interested in backing him at odds on. But if you're just doing it on a pure comparison basis, he's the same price as Adebayor and Soldado.
Yeah, that's just one of those where they just stick those two guys in, isn't it? Really.
So that's not bad at all. To be fair, if you're looking at it from that point of view, but Tottenham to win and both teams to score here. I just think Burnley. Maybe they had the chance, you know, the old adage, you know, you don't win the home one and maybe you've lost your chance. And I think you're right. I think if he does weaken down two or three players, I think that'll be enough for Tottenham. And I don't think they should weaken down at all, Tottenham. They haven't really... The sixth, obviously going for Champions League football, but it's a great opportunity to progress in the cup here for Tottenham. They've got Sunderland at the weekend. They've got a home game against Sheffield United in the League Cup. I often like to look at, the top teams who do well in both cups generally get to one final or another. They've got a great opportunity here to get to the next round of the FA Cup, and then they've got Sheffield United in the League Cup. I mean, it's a tremendous opportunity for Tottenham to win a cup this season, I think. And I think that they're almost kind of set up for that sort of thing.
Burnley Crystal Palace at the weekend, by the way. Burnley 13-10, the draw 11-5, Crystal Palace 11-5. We'll talk more about that particular match at the weekend. That brings us to the conclusion, Mr. Phelps, of this midweek podcast. We will be back at the weekend to look at all the 10 Premier League matches with Derek McGovern joining us as well. Looking forward to that. We need to have a word with Derek, actually, because apparently there's the same emailer, I think it's Trev, emails in every week, saying that he's putting up conflicting tips in the Mirror.
What?
So we'll have to have a word with him about that.
It's almost like he can't remember what he put up on one thing.
It's almost as if he's just speaking...
Off the top of his head?
Off the top of his head on this podcast.
That
can't be correct.
I think it's probably the other way around. In that
let's get this column out of the way.
It's probably ghostwritten.
Probably is. Imagine that. It does say
on it, you know, written with the help of someone else.
It does say that on it.
John.
And what there might be some things might be lost in translation there
as well. I mean, he could say...
quite easily.
He could say, like, I fancy... QPR to beat Burnley. What it actually means is Burnley to beat QPR.
That, precisely, and with the accent,
to me a lot.
With the accent as well.
It happens to me an awful lot. I get prices slightly wrong. And
ah, well. You'll try and slip a few more past the goalie, I'm sure, before the end of the season's done. Thank you for listening to the podcast, folks. We'll be back at the weekend with David McGovern joining us for the 10 Premier League matches. Hope you've enjoyed it. I'll get your bets on for the FA Cup replays this midweek, and we'll be back very soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.